Welcome back, everybody, to the Business of Money podcast. This is Nia, your host. I am the CEO and founder of Women's Wealth Institute, where I teach financial intelligence to solopreneurs. Because here at Women's Wealth Institute, when your business is your paycheck, you can't afford to guess. Let's dive into today's episode. This one is a one that most folks are like, that'll never happen to me. And I'm telling you, you never ever know. So this episode is divorce as a business owner and protecting your assets and equity. It is 50% of Americans get divorced. We have a very high divorce rate in this country. And if you are on your second marriage, the divorce rate is even higher. Third marriages are even higher. So I cover this section in this podcast, as well as addressing it in my cocktails and conversations and addressing it in my advisory sessions, because most people think that they're going to stay married forever. And I'm divorced, and I chose to be divorced because I did not want to be married anymore. Had a very good provider. He was a decent man, but I decided I wanted to get divorced. So I included in my business, as part of being a person who owns their business and would have to consider if I ever decided to get remarried, let me tell you, that would be hard. There has to be a very compelling reason. I don't know what that reason would be, but it would have to be a very compelling reason for me to commingle my financial life with someone. I'm not saying it's impossible, but I do know I like to be well informed about someone financially, emotionally, physically, things like that. So I make that a part of my advisory sessions and conversation, because it's a fact of life, and divorce is a financial event. Marriage is a financial event, and I like to treat it as such as a business owner and being a company that focuses on financial management. And as we know, divorce is difficult if you've ever been through it. But if you're a business owner, it's also a financial reality. Your business is your income. Your business is your asset. Your home is your asset. And both will be affected in a divorce, even if your spouse did not contribute to the business or the mortgage. And you won't ever believe that until you don't know till you get divorced, or you're going through one and you're just like, I don't understand. I helped him build the business because I'm the one that was raising the kids while he or she was out working. All you got to do is think about celebrities. They're really businesses. If they have wineries and equity interests and sponsorships and contracts and things of that nature, and the other person stays home. Let's take, for instance, Dak Prescott. He's not my most favorite, but I'm a Dallas Cowboy fan. And I love football. And I love my Dallas Cowboys. But Dak is my favorite one because I haven't seen a better one yet compared to Tony Romo, who I couldn't stand. No offense, Tony, but you sucked. And then we went through a series of quarterbacks, and then we got our boy Dak, and he was the promise to the future. Now, we haven't gone to the Super Bowl yet because I don't know why, but that's not for this discussion. That might be for my, if I ever decide to start up my After the Game podcast again, which I'm considering during Dallas season. I don't know. I got my plate full with Women's Wealth Institute and another company I'm working on. But if I did, oh yeah, you know, I'm going to talk some trash, right? And maybe we might need a new quarterback because we haven't been to the Super Bowl yet. But then does Jerry want to go to the Super Bowl? You know, like I said, that's for After the Game. But Dak Prescott was about to get married, and unfortunately, he had the girl and the girl, and then he had the baby, and then he had another baby, and then they were going to get married, and then they called the marriage off. But the man is worth a lot of money, so it seems in the celebrity community, women having the babies is the golden ticket versus the marriage. Because getting out of the marriage is harder than just saying, look, I'll just pay you child support. And then I'm not even going to pay you that much, because that's easily manageable, versus you taking most of my earnings in a settlement. So what I want you to focus on, and I want you to get comfortable. Hopefully you got your little cocktail like I do here. I'm drinking red raspberry vodka with the Wendy's strawberry lemonade, delicious combination. And I want you to think of yourself this way. You are now the celebrity, and you have the contracts, the sponsorships, and the digital products. They're all making, those are your star players. You got your courses, you got your Spotify, you know, podcast, you got your, you know, your YouTube channel popping off, your Pinterest channel popping off, your TikTok sales going. You are now Dak Prescott. In your paid sponsorships, your affiliate income, your digital products, your Etsy shop, those are all your, that's your income, and you have assets. And those assets can be attached to someone that you decide to marry, because you're bringing that to the marriage. And this is how you need to think. Absolutely, yes, I need a prenuptial agreement. Absolutely, no, I'm not marrying you. I don't care how much money you make, because it doesn't matter. In the end, each person is going to have to submit a financial document of their assets, a financial statement, a financial position, to be specific, for each party. How do I know? I told you I went through a divorce. So let's be very clear on what that looks like if you decide as the superstar to get married and now you're divorcing your non-superstar, and now what you're looking at that has to be discussed and negotiated. Equity matters. And let me say that again. Let me be clear. Equity matters. Business equity. If the business is entirely yours, you founded it, funded it, operated it, you need to protect that equity. Even if the spouse did not contribute labor or capital, without proper legal structure, the claims can arise. And this is why financial leadership in your business extends to legal and structural protection. So with Dak Prescott, he was able to get out of just being married for whatever reason and can protect his contract and his endorsements and things like that. Now, can his child support be connected to the income he has coming in? Depends on how he structures his company to accept his contract. Is he Dak Prescott the person, or Dak Prescott the independent contractor through a legal entity to the Dallas Cowboys? We don't know that. Right? We don't know that. And I won't use him throughout the whole contract, the whole session. The point is for you to understand you as an entity and you as a person. You have two separate entities. Okay? Home equity. Ownership matters. Mortgage liability matters. And title matters. Even if your spouse is not on the mortgage, being on a title may give them claim to a portion of equity depending on its jurisdiction. Understand this before negotiations begin. Document ownership and contributions clearly. This is how my marriage was on the downturn. My husband and I lived in his parents' second home, not too far away. They had a rental property. We moved into it when we got married. The marriage wasn't bad. It was just, I was older. We were at different points in our life. I came with a kid. He was Filipino. I was African American. And we argued a lot. Loved each other, but argued a lot, right? And it was getting to the point where, you know, the parents, his parents is always on the line, because he was always telling his parents I was doing something. He can't talk to me. And I was very unreasonable. But coming into a marriage independent and now having to be in a co-relationship, I didn't cope well. So I don't say the whole marriage was his fault, even though we had infidelity issues on his part, that it's entirely his fault. I can't say that. That would be a lie. So I always look at it as 50% me, 50% him, and I ended it. And that's how it was. If it's not going to work, it's not going to work. I did not marry my husband for money. Right. So when we were, he wanted to buy it. He wanted to get the house. And he got a mortgage to buy the house because we were wanted to consider home ownership. He was all about home ownership. I mean, he's an immigrant to the country. Home ownership is a big deal. His parents owned two homes. So, you know, I understood where that was coming from. And my mom owned her home. My grandma owned her home. My other grandparents owned their. Like, home ownership is in the family. I just didn't believe in it. So I'm a rebel. But anyway, the conversation came down to me and him, me and appearance, that we could buy the home that we were living in and we had been living in for several years. My name couldn't be on the title. Now, he got the mortgage and we had been approved for a mortgage. We got the mortgage because he was working for the federal government. But I couldn't be on the title. Oh, no, absolutely not. Because if I was on the title, if we got divorced, I'm entitled to if the home was sold and I have ownership rights. And that's how important being on the title is. I don't have to have the mortgage. The mortgage was in his name. Me being on a title gives me ownership to the property without having the liability, responsibility, and obligation of said home. And his parents were like, that's the only way we'll sell it to you. Then I said, then we won't be buying a home. Very simple. And that let me, and that was untotally, and I was upset at first, to be honest, because that's not how it was supposed to go. It's him protecting his family and making sure that we have a home to live in. And I wasn't working because I was a stay-at-home mom. So you can just go off and do what you want and I'm not on the title and I can be thrown out of my home if you wanted to have a new family, let's say, and I'd be out on my ass. Yeah, no, I wasn't that dumb. So I was like, not a problem. And right then and there, I was like, I will never commingle my money. That's one of the reasons I'll never commingle my money with anybody. And I knew that being independent before I got married because I watched so many women get finagled out of their shit. I was like, nope, nope, nope. I was already groomed to be independent. So this was no surprise because you can just see how people move before they move. You got to kind of have insight. And everything revolves around money. I'm trained as a financial manager. I'm trained to be a financial detective. I'm trained to look at the realities of how finance affects a business, how financial effects can make a business grow and can bring a business down. That's my training, personally and professionally. So, yes. And I hit home with that because with my first son, his dad was mad because social services was taking him to court because when Andrew was young, they made him, he wasn't paying me child support. And I was trying to get social services. I could never really get it to get help while I was going to school. And I needed a little support to help me because I was going for my bachelor's degree. The first problem I had was, well, you're going for a bachelor's degree, so you can't get child care. What? You need to stop your bachelor's program and go get yourself an associate's degree. Now, why the hell would I do that? Okay, never mind. I don't need it. So I encountered that a lot in California, Virginia, and in New York. So social services took my son's biological father to court, and I had to show up. And he's like, why are you taking me to court? I already give you money, $25. Any little bit helps, but he was cheap. And I was like, yeah, I saw my mother go through child support. They gave her $25 per kid. So I was like, that, she was like, the hell am I going to do with $26? So it's like, it does not in favor of women. I don't know how women do it today. Like, I just get a fucking job, right? And it's always been, just get a job. And I just always got a job. So it was just, you know, if I could get it, great. But I can't do it. Y'all aren't giving me enough money. And this is not going to work out. So when I had to go to court, I was like, you know what? This is some bullshit. But I'm standing there. He's like, why are you taking me to court? I don't understand. And I was like, first of all, I am not taking you to court. This is some shit that you have to deal with social services because of some shit you did. I don't know what you did that triggered them to want you. And he's like, well, it's not a problem because I have all my receipts. And I was like, why are you so mad at me? He's like, because I don't know. I don't know what you're capable of. And he said this to my face. But I know you have your MBA in finance. And I know that somehow, some way, you're trying to wrangle money out of me because you have your MBA in finance. And he only had a high school education. He never finished getting his degree. He was trying to be a football player. So he got injured and then he couldn't finish going to school at Delaware State. And he never got picked up for football. So he has a high school education. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. I'm saying that we were in just two different levels. And he was like, I know what you're capable of. So when I say that you have to protect your assets, when people know what you're capable of, they get real scary. He's got all kind of envelopes and receipts and shit. And I was like, I'm glad you did your homework. Because now you know what's possible. And I don't know what he had to do or pay back or what have you. I don't know. I didn't have to show up. They were like, yeah, you don't need to be here. This is between him and us. Oh, okay. See you. Because, see, I took care of my kid, right? They were taking him because they weren't getting their share or whatever. I don't know. Needless to say, I never depended on that social services because I never qualified. And not qualified enough to want to stay on it longer. So I say that to say that social services comes in a lot of different forms. And one of them is when someone provides for you. And when they provide for you and you only have a bit of your income coming in, you are kept. If they don't, and you're married, that means you're kept. If they're a boyfriend or a girlfriend, the gender is neutral. And you're not married, you're sponsored. That means that they're your social, you are on their social services program. You're on their social services program. And then you're independent, you work for your money. You work to earn a living. And you can move in and out. I'm not saying either one is right or wrong. You just got to understand your position. So when you're looking at home equity, when my in-laws were like, oh, you're on a title. Title means that I have a claim to a portion of the equity and getting divorced. He would have had to sell that house and give me some money. I'm not money driven, but he could, if I was nasty and money driven, I could have did that and just bided my time. But I, like I said, I didn't marry my husband. I never go into relationships for money. That I think that's when you really find out who you really are. And some people are like, well, I deserve it. I earned it. And whatever they think is right, that's just never my position. But this is why you have to understand who you are going into relationship and who you're with in that relationship. And you get signals. And if you don't pay attention to those signals, you can get caught up and then you can have your assets compromised because you don't have the proper structure, you don't have the proper conversations, and you don't have the proper documentation. So let's keep going because I told you I can ramble. So here's what every business owner should do proactively. Always separate your business and personal finances in your business. At home, do not have a joint account. I don't understand why people today have joint accounts with the high divorce rate. Nope. I pay the bill. Somebody pays the bill. We sit down and then there's an account where that money gets transferred in and transferred out and it's a zero account. There's no money left in that account. However, when emotions take over, the money can be snatched out before the bills are paid and someone's left holding the bag. The goal, just don't have a joint account. Separate. So you have to do, if you're going to think about your life, whether you're running a business or not, just really for business owners, separate your business and personal finances. And then do the same thing at home. And somebody's going to balk about, well, we need to have a joint account to make the bill paying easier. No, because that was a problem with my husband. He was like, we have a joint account. Yes, because I work from, I take care of the kids. Your money is my money. You signed me up for this. I signed up for this. You're paying. You're the husband. You're the provider. You said, Nia, you stay home. Okay, you raise the kids. Okay, that means I have access to your money because I don't have any coming in. Then when he balked about me, then I get a job. Now we're looking around in Pasadena, Los Angeles to go get me this job. He's like, now we got to move. Housing costs are high. Now we got to, you got to have a car. You got to have work clothes. Like I have to do all this when it's easier for you to stay home. No, now when we talk about money and I want my own, all of a sudden I'm too expensive because now we have to get you out your comfort zone and now I can earn my own income. And that was a threat to my marriage. So I'm like, yeah, okay, no problem. And then after that, I was like, I just might as well live on my own. I get divorced because it's not going to work because it's a power play. Because now I'm spending all this money. No, I'm not spending all your money. I'm spending all of our money because I don't have a job. And when women or whoever the significant other gets flack because they're spending too much money but they don't have a job, you have to take care of me and everyone else. And you got to keep the big top going and you got to buy my clothes. I don't have my own income, which is why I'm such a proponent for financial independence for people. That way people can't tell you what size, what color underwear you can wear. They can't tell you what to drink. They can't tell you what to eat. They can't tell you shit. So that's a little background on why I am the way I am and how I built WWI, but for businesses, so that you can treat yourself the same way. Your business is your provider. That bitch works for you. It's supposed to make sure you live well, right? So separate your business and your personal finances so you'll be able to let your business know, hey, bitch, I need a new Rolls Royce. Let's figure out how to get that. That's when you make that money work for you. Let's put that money in a savings or let's invest in a high yield stock that I can pull my money out in 3 years, hopefully, NVIDIA, AI, whatever, because I want a Rolls Royce and I want to pay for it in cash. So now I'm going to need to make sure I allocate my investments so that I can put some money into this NVIDIA stock and cash out in 3 to 5 years. That's how your business works for you. You're directing your employees to work for you. Every one of your dollars works for you. So separate your business and your personal finances. Revenues, bank accounts, expenses, all business activities should be traceable and separate from household funds. Document your contributions. Record your investment, time and effort in the business. Keep contracts, invoices, and receipts. Let me tell you about keeping receipts. I told you I work at Walmart. These people keep their receipts. They're all raggedy after a day under the guise of, I just bought it yesterday. How your receipt? Oh, I washed it. Oh, okay. But I don't have my receipt. I don't know what card it's on. That's how you know people don't keep track of their expenses. Because they can't remember what card it's on because they have too many cards. They can't find the receipt. They throw it away. They don't document anything. And 9 times out of 10, they are 100% an American consumer. I like those kind of customers. They spend because they have the credit card ability to spend. And it's always on a credit card. Always. We love those kind of customers. I love them. And working at Walmart tells me they're out there, which is why I have faith in my business. I'm watching them come into my company, into Walmart every day. Legal structure of the business. Ensure your LLC, S-Corp, and other entity documents clearly define ownership. Estate and asset protection. Consult an attorney to discuss prenuptial Postnuptial are asset protection strategies. There's no such thing as postnuptials. Legally, and my business law teacher taught me this a long time ago when I was in community college studying business, doing my graduate credits at a community college to transfer to a bachelor program to save me money. Postnuptials do not exist. You can't have a postnuptial after you get married. They're not recognized in this country. But asset protection strategies are operating agreements between a marriage couple. It's not a postnuptial agreement. It's you're going to take care of this. I'm going to take care of this. You can take care of the bills. We're going to have a monthly meeting every month. And this is how we're going to be able to manage our finances. What do you think about that? See, and what if something, let's play devil's advocate. What if we don't last? No, let's be realistic. Would people change? This is mature conversations. People change. What if we don't work out? Well, of course we will. Love. Love cannot solve every problem. So emotions get involved. People get involved. We come from different backgrounds. We met each other at a time where we felt it was right to get together. But let's be realistic about this. Let's put on our big boy, big girl hat, big boy pants, big girl pants. What if we don't work out? How are we going to handle dividing the house? Do you want to sell it? Do you want to buy each other out? Do we put it in a trust and maybe we rent it out and split the prop? You know, let's do this while we're still in love. And let's say, hey, and it should cause a bit of tension because now you're testing the relationship's not structure, but foundation. And if you can't have the, like, I would never get into a relationship and not have these conversations. I didn't get into my marriage having these conversations, but I knew the relationship wasn't going to last. But that's me saying that. I will never be in a relationship and not have those conversations ever again. I can't. Because I've learned too much and these things are important. It's not going to happen on a date. It could happen before getting married. But if you have these kind of conversations before you get married, the other person may not be emotionally intelligent to recognize that you are not only, you should be protecting yourself. That's what an emotionally intelligent person does, and they can ask the hard questions. And if that person can't answer the hard question and not feel affronted by it, you're going to have a challenge communicating with that person when hard times come. And hard times always come. And are they going to be the strength partner that you are going to need to be able to have those conversations? And they're going to hurt. That's just reality. And if yes, then you have to rethink how you're going to approach that relationship because someone is going to be the heavyweight in the relationship. And it can't always be a him or a her. You're going to bounce off each other. And you grow through that. That doesn't happen automatically. But if you find that you can get through some things and you can kind of test the waters and you're like, all right. And then once you get married, inside that marriage is a whole different world. So that's why postnuptials don't matter. You already got married. The contract has already been sealed. The contract has already been signed. Prenups is when you have those hard contracts with legal representation in front of you. Period. All right. Asset protection strategies are what you do independently before you get married and then within the marital structure. Because any asset owned outside of the marriage between either party belongs to either party. Once the marriage contract has been signed and you paid for it, which automatically should tell you marriage is a contract. Not about love, it's about contracts. All the marital property is within the marriage and gets distributed according to the various regions' laws. California is community property. Georgia is not. right? And the length of time matters as well, right? So these things have to be discussed. I'll never get into a relationship and not have these conversations. Like, no, if you can't handle it, you're not my partner, right? And you observe, but I'm going to tell you, observe first. You can see how people live right when you first, you can tell everything you need to know within the first, believe it or not, within the first 3 dates, you'll be able to tell if you have discernment. First 3 dates, because you know automatically if they're the one or not. But within the first 2 days, you know if you're going to continue on or not. But after the first 3 dates, whatever has been communicated sets the tone for the whole relationship. Same thing for your business. You know, when you get into the business, you know that's your business. You're like, oh yeah, this is my thing. This is what I like to do. Da 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 da. Now you may change your mind, but then you might come back to it. You're like, you know, I knew this was my thing. Why did I get away from this? And when you're a one person business, you kind of get to switch up different interests. You get to try different things. But for those who are committed, they know right from the beginning and they understand what's required of them to make it grow, to nurture it, to plant the seed and watch the seed grow over time. Now, home clarity. Know who is on the mortgage, know who is on the title, understand local property laws and what applies in divorce. Many solopreneurs also assume, because I'm in the business, I control it. Ownership and control are not always the same. Legal claims can emerge. Even unintentional contributions, household support, childcare, or indirect support may influence settlements. And again, this is very true, which is why when women are like, oh no, I earned every single bit of my alimony payments, of my settlement, because I stayed home while this person went off to work and I was abandoned. And maybe not because of infidelity, that we grew apart. He's never there. The pandemic brought everyone together and people saw their real marriages and they saw who their spouse really was. Because if you're away for 8 hours a day, yeah, you could text each other 8 hours a day. You could talk all, you could do all of that. But when you are with them 24 hours a day and you can't leave, you can't walk out the door, there's nowhere else to go. Many, many marriages saw who their spouses really were. And there were probably, I'm only guessing, spikes in divorce. And as time went on to today, and they're still together, and they're like, I knew this shit wasn't going to work out back in 2021. I needed to make some changes. But people get lazy, they gotta work. Now they gotta shuffle things, and now the person who's causing problems is digging their heels in deeper and making it harder to get out. And don't be in this for the 20, 30 year mark, 40 year mark. Right? Most people don't wanna walk away from what they built. And I get that. Totally get that. Yeah, that's why I said it couldn't be me, because I couldn't see my life. I did 8 years in, 2 years separated, 10 years total. And that told me more than what I needed to know. So when I see people and they're like 20, 30, 40, 50, what? The trials, the tribulations, and no one's rich. No one's wealthy, and very few are happy, and most have settled, and that's okay, right? But they're not happy. Happiness is relative. That's what I heard somebody say. Love is relative. That's what I heard someone say. And that's from someone who was in a very long-term marriage, and I was just like, wow. Like, that's never going to be my story. Right? That's never going to be my story. But people change. And you have to recognize that people change. And as a business owner, business change. And businesses, you have to think quick on your feet or you're going to lose your business. You may not lose your marriage, but you damn sure are going to lose the business because your customers don't give a two hoots about you and your personal problems. They will take their business elsewhere. They can walk. Marriage, not so easy. Got to go through the courts. You need legal rep. You're going to have to pay me. Like, there's all these barriers, right? Because you're not supposed to get married to get divorced. But times have changed. Women can get divorces today. Back in the days, women couldn't get divorced. Their husbands had to divorce them, and their husbands had to give them the divorce. So you got women saying, there ain't no way in the world. Right? So these are things that you really need to think about. So your goal at this point should be very, very clear. Protect what you built. You build a moat around yourself. Around yourself and around your business. And the business supports you. And you support yourself through your business. But you got two moats to build. And if you're smart, you teach your children to build moats because they're your creditors in the future. And you're theirs. Maintain control of your business. Protect your personal assets. Protect your business assets. Preserve operational stability during transition. And it's not about conflict. It's about preparation. Clarity, structure, and security. If you want a business, your livelihood depends on it. And divorce should not destroy what you built. It should not destroy the relationship between your partner. It should not destroy the relationship between your children. It should not destroy the relationship between your partner and their children, and vice versa. Now, once you're divorced, that person is still a part of your life through your children if you have them, or your in-laws or family, what have you. And now the goal is restructuring differently. You're just two now completely separate entities. My husband and I, my ex-husband and I, we co-parented, but we co-parented differently. We co-parented differently on my terms. I just didn't talk to him. And that's because I'm divorced. Now he's remarried, got a whole new family, met the family, the children, very, very nice kids. Talked to the wife, had a little bit of conflict that got nipped in the bud right from the beginning. So when our children were grown, going through some challenges and some changes, you know, we chatted, said we're going to, and I said, we can work through this together. We'll figure it out. We're here for the support, and we're, you know, and this is how it works. He's like, you're very wise, and I like your wisdom, and blah, 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 everything good with you. Yeah, everything's fine, everything good with you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. How's your family? Everything's good. We got through the conflict, and I don't talk to him anymore. I don't need to, right? We don't do holidays together. We don't get together. The kids still keep in every now and then. That's their relationship. I didn't even get involved in that relationship with his children. They get to decide the relationship that they want with their father, and then my son with his biological father. I don't get in the way of that. That's not me. I have a very good relationship with my children. So you have to be mature about it, and to keep, but you have to be selfish. This is why. They can't interrupt me or my business activity. I don't have somebody else's children who have been in and out of my lives because we co-parent, and now we're all one big happy family. And one day this kid who's has a different mom, but you know, have my husband as their dad, coming to me saying, hey, I need a loan. No. Because we're family. Yeah, no, we don't do that here. I protected myself for a year. I've been divorced since 2008. And someone said to me, oh, I bet you know you still, you know, keep in contact with your ex-husband. You have to borrow money. No, I don't have to do that. I don't even talk to my ex-husband. He's blocked. What? Like, that was such a crazy concept to the person. And he was like, what? No, you probably have to ask your husband. No, I don't have to ask my ex-husband for shit. He doesn't give me money. He doesn't do anything. He does not. We don't even talk. He's blocked. I don't talk to him. There's no need to. I don't need his financial support. I don't need anything like that. And he was completely shocked because that's not normal. No, I'm protecting me. And I come first. I'm single. I come first. I take care of me first. And I want you to think that way because people, as kids get older, they need help. And they're going to go to the help that they trust. And I'm not it. So proactive financial and legal structure, to get back to what I was talking about, gives you leverage, confidence, and protection. So yeah, action steps. You know, there's always action steps. Review your business ownership and operating agreements. Separate and document all personal and business accounts. Consult a qualified attorney specializing in business and divorce. Protect personal assets, home investments, and retirement accounts, and maintain cash flow in business during negotiations. Your business is a paycheck. Your assets are your security. Divorce is a challenge, but structure and preparation make it manageable. Financial leadership extends beyond operations. It includes protecting what you built, the equity, the revenue, the assets today, not later. So I know that was a bit, I try to keep them easy and simple, but it's a huge topic and it's a big one. Most of my solopreneurs will probably be married and they probably don't have these conversations, which is why I'm introducing it in the podcast, right? So you can listen to it on your own time and have something in your ear that you might want to focus on. Maybe not now, but something that you're going to have to face at some point. And if you're like, oh, we'll never get divorced, you have never say never. That's why I say I'll never get married. I really should say never get never. It's just not in my plans. I'm not dating. I'm single. I'm working on my business. I'll go out and meet people, but I have people, men regularly coming up to me. So are you single? Are you seeing anybody? How come you're not married? I was like, yeah, we did all that, done that. No, I'm not seeing anybody and I'm not trying to. Now, that's not working. That only makes it even better. I forget men like challenges. And then, so I moved to, yeah, I have a boyfriend. He lives with me. So that's not working. So now I'm just like, look, I'm not interested, but thank you. I appreciate it. Now I don't have to explain all of that because nothing's working. Nothing's working. Now I'm just like, yeah, no. I don't put myself anymore in situations that is going to compromise me and my business, and surrounding myself, positioning myself to move in circles that are more beneficial for me, personally and professionally and emotionally, more of a support system or an emotion, you know, a social system that I've built where I have more, a bit of a control over my environment and people that are social. I want to social around with people who want to have fun or intelligent. They like to have good conversations and they're just living their best lives and they're trying to just, you know, spend their time contributing to the benefit and helping others and things like that. I want to surround myself with people like that. That's what the Women's Wealth Institute's culture is all about, is building a culture of support, mentorship, coaching, leadership, ownership, accountability. And we don't get that. You might get that in a business, and normally you won't. Workplaces are very toxic cultures. It's not like that here at Women's Wealth Institute. So hopefully this resonates with you. I'm sure it does. If you got to this part, I know it did. Thank you very much for hanging out with me. And I'll see you on the next one.